I invite you to hear this rather lengthy reading from Hebrews chapter 11. And to hear in these words the word that God has to say to you today. It's Hebrews 11. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's worth hearing. These words about the history and the future of faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. The elders in the past were approved because they showed faith. By faith, we understand that the universe has been created by a word from God, so that the visible came into existence from the invisible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain, which showed that he was righteous, since God gave him approval for his gift. Though he died, he still speaks through that faith. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he didn't see death, and he was found no more because God took him up. He was given approval for having pleased God before he was taken. It's impossible to please God without faith, because the one who draws near to God must believe that He exists and that God rewards those who try to find Him. By faith, Noah responded with godly fear when he was warned about events that he hadn't seen yet. He built an ark to deliver his household. With his faith, he criticized the world and became an heir of the righteousness that came from his faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land that he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and way past the age of childbearing, because she believed that the one who had promised was faithful. So descendants were born from this one, Abraham, and he was as good as dead. There were as many as the number of the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. Yet all these people died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. People who say this kind of thing make clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have never had the opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they were longing for a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God isn't ashamed to be called their God, for God has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac when he was tested. The one who had received the promises was offering his only son. He had been told concerning him, "Your legitimate descendants will come from Isaac." He figured that God could even raise him from the dead. So in a way, he did receive him back from the dead. By faith, Isaac also blessed Jacob and Esau concerning their future. By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons, even as he was dying, and bowed in worship, held up by the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph recalled the exodus of the Israelites at the end of his life and gave instructions about burying his bones. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months when he was born because they saw that the child was beautiful and they weren't afraid of the king's orders. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he was grown up. He chose to be mistreated with God's people instead of having the temporary pleasures of status and sin. He thought that the abuses he suffered for Christ were more valuable than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking forward to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt without being afraid of the king's anger. He kept on going as if he could see what was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood in order that the destroyer could not touch their firstborn children. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as if it were on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried it, they were covered up with the water and drowned. By faith, Jericho's walls fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, wasn't killed with the disobedient because she had welcomed the spies of Israel in peace. What more can I say? I would run out of time if I told you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, brought about justice, realized promises, shut the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped from the edge of the sword, found strength in weakness, were mighty in war, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death. They were cut in two. They died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. But God provided something better for us so that those saints wouldn't be made perfect without us. So, then, let us also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Let us throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He endured the cross, ignoring its shame, and for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, sat down at the right side of God's throne. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith in every generation. Thanks be to God. This passage from Hebrews speaks over and over again of faith and names people of faith throughout the ages, the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Old Book, the Old Testament, all the way up to the people of faith in the New Testament who trusted God for God's promises. It is an encouragement and a hope to read this passage and to hear the whole context that leads up to the blessed verses from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, with which we ended, that claim God's gift of Jesus Christ as the ultimate expression of reward for all of these saints of faith who went before Him. Scripture tells us that this is the reality of what we have hoped for and the evidence of what we cannot see, this trust in Christ. It's kind of humbling to paint the entire history here, at least the part that we know of. We've been reading of the Old Testament prophets that were 800 to 1200 years before the time of Jesus and even in between. And then there is the time of the coming of Jesus and the redemption story that comes from that moment in history and that moment of generous giving in God's part. And then it's another couple of thousand years on the chart since then. So we are far, far removed, farther than we can really imagine. Farther than I can imagine anyway. We are far removed from these events, and yet these events have been preserved for us. I've read some recently in the Apocryphal Gospels. There are a couple of interesting ones. They are not Scripture. They are representative accounts of Jesus and His time on earth that were deemed in the early centuries of the Christian era to not be authentic enough to claim as Scripture. There were councils of the early church that met and deliberated and made these decisions, believing that they were influenced and led by the power of God's Holy Spirit to decide which books, which letters, which accounts should be canonized by the church and made into Scriptures. And as you know, there are other church traditions that have different canons than we have. Catholic, for example, they have several books. The apocryphal books between the Testaments, between the old and new, what we call the old and new. And so we differ about our understanding of that. One wonders if the church as a world body were able to make decisions now, would there be a possibility of adding books to the Scriptures? The Scriptures are a living document. The earliest accounts of the Christian faith in the New Testament are accounts of faith and faithful witness and some of these martyrs that we've been reading about. And no doubt there have been plenty of such holy stories since then. Now, I got asked that question by the Conference Board of Ordained Ministry when I was ready to be ordained an elder, because in my papers I'd written about the apocryphal books and referred to them some. And the team of ministers who interviewed me, thankfully it's a more friendly process now, but when I interviewed there were 22 elders in the room. And I've been through quite a few processes already, but that was when I was finally asking to be approved for elders' orders in the United Methodist Church. 22 elders interviewed me, and one of them looked over his glasses like this, sitting across the table from me. And since I'd written about the apocryphal books, he said, "Brother Caldwell, do you suppose for even an instant that we might one day add to the books of the Holy Bible?" And I said, "Well, sir, I would not be the one to propose that, nor approve it. But I suppose in some context of the larger church, the largest representation of Christian people, that it is possible." And he simply nodded and looked back down. And I didn't know really what the nod meant, but apparently it was an acceptable nod, because I did end up passing that day. But it's an interesting thing to study the Scriptures and to have this kind of perspective of the Old and the New Covenants together. And believe me, I'm not proposing we add books to the Bible. We have what we have, and it is God's Word, and it contains God's Word, and it speaks to us. It itself is not miraculous. It is not God. It speaks of miracle, and it speaks of God. And I believe that God has breathed into it the breath of life, and that in our study and internalizing that word of faith, we breathe in that very breath. I speak of this faith. These who died, as Scripture says, without having received the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance, and it increased their faith. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants. Brings to mind the great spiritual hymn, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through." We have a destination to which we are going. We are heavenly creatures with an earthly body. But perhaps the most profound part of this passage that we've read today is the continual repetition of the phrase, "by faith." See, if we could prove all this in some sort of logical, scientific, evidential kind of way, then that would eliminate the need for faith. But the phrase, "by faith," indicates that this trust is not just something we can muster up. Faith and believing are different. See, believing is what we do. But faith is not our doing. Faith is offered to us. Faith is a gift. The seed of faith is planted in us, and we pray for it, and we pray for that seed to grow, and we water it and nurture it and try to help it grow. That is what it means to welcome the Word. Scripture begins with creation. In Genesis, it's the creation of the world and all that it is. And in the New Testament, it is the creation of the church. And it is the blessing and the breathing of God within us, the very Spirit of God dwelling in Jesus and in us. So if God dwells in us, if God is welcomed in us, then we too are filled with God. The New Testament recalls the beginning of this Holy Spirit dwelling with the story of Pentecost, where the disciples began to speak and lead and teach and heal in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ. So, including the first two verses of Hebrews 12 in this reading today makes a great point that this is why we run the race. Faith is why we run the race that is set before us. And I'm talking about the race of life, the daily pace, the struggles, the heartbreaks, the hopes, the joys, the challenges. Those are the signposts along this race. But this is why we run that race, because the joy of Christ is set before us, and the Spirit of Christ runs by our side. Let us pray. Oh God, as we gather this morning, we seek to be filled with Your Spirit so that we may run the patient race with hope and never alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. If today is a time for you to turn directions or to leave a race and enter a new one, all this talk about races in the Olympics, there are many varieties of ways to live out the race of faith. It may be swimming in water. It may be jumping in the air, as in the long jump. It may be pole vaulting. It may be passing a ball. There are many ways to run and experience the race of life that God calls us toward. If today's the day for you to take up a new challenge or to step in a new way, to step closer to Christ or to ask Christ to fill you in a new way, then I hope you will pray that prayer and make that your prayer every day this week. As God answers our prayers and fills us with hope. If today's the day for you to trust Christ in a new way or for the first time, or to join this congregation of United Methodist people and live out our faith together, then I invite you to the altar as we sing the words of this hymn of invitation. Andy?